Turn with us to the Gospel according to Luke. Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 2. Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 2. And as we have read this week, and you know, we know that this is Christmas time, and we very common to read from Luke chapter 2. And I want to preach today a sermon entitled The Truth of Christmas. And there's three different things that I want to share about the truth of Christmas. And I guess what inspired this, I was reading and ran across an article, pretty in-depth article, probably a commentary or of someone. And it started out pretty good, talking about the birth of Christ, the deity of Christ, and it seemed like it was on a positive note. And as I read on, and that's why you have to be careful about reading stuff on the internet, because you can get in a mess quickly. But as I read on, the guy, he began to talk about all the way from the star that appeared in the sky, that it wasn't real, all the way to the fact that the conception of the virgin birth wasn't real, and compared the whole Christmas story to the story of Santa Claus, you know, and how we see Santa Claus. And it broke my heart. And then I began to think about, as I read on, and we began to think about a lot of other religions other than the Christian religion. And inside the Christian religion, the Christian church, There's all different kinds of beliefs. You know, some Christians, some preachers in Christian churches don't even believe in the resurrection. So therefore, it leads me to believe they need another profession. I believe in the resurrection, don't you? I also believe in virgin birth. And I want to share today three truths about Christmas. And let's read at least the first few verses of Luke chapter 2. And then later we're going to take the Bible back and we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. So if you want to go ahead and get that ready for later on, we're going to read there. But first of all, in Luke chapter 2, and then it'll be a space of time before we go to 1 John chapter 4 if the Lord allows us to do that. But let's read the story. Chapter 2, the book of Luke, verse number 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." That brings us to this verse, verse number 12. The beginning there of the Christmas story, we know if we go back in chapter 1, it begins to talk about how that the angels spoke to not only Zacharias, Elizabeth, and Joseph and Mary. Detailed information there about the whole plan that God had ordained before the foundation of the world. I believe that today. I believe Scripture to be truth, And this is where I guess a lot of people separate from the truth, is the fact that they don't believe this to be truth. Maybe portions of it. It's like some of the major religions. You take the Muslim religion, Islam, they recognize in the Quran the fact that Jesus is mentioned in there. The Church of Latter-day Saints, who do they say? The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Mormons, they recognize Christ, right? The Jehovah's Witness, and I guess I say this because Wednesday or Thursday, the subdivision we were working in, they were out knocking on doors. Made me feel bad. I was painting and they were knocking on doors. But nevertheless, they're diligent. But they mention Jesus Christ in their religion, in their literature. But the fact is, what separates all these religions is that they'll go so far in saying things about Christ and the fact that maybe he was actually a man that existed on the earth at one time, in one day. But what separates the fact is that they don't believe that he was the God-man, that he was deity, that God sent forth his only son, that it was a foreordained plan, that God himself exists in three fashions, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that God the Son became flesh and dwelt among us. That separates that, and we know, according to what Scripture says, if you deny that, we want to share some things about that today and prove to us that God sent his Son in the flesh, him being fully God or truly God, and also fully man, truly he was man. And what a story. And many people don't believe it, but I do today, and that's why I preach it, that's why I talk about it, and I think it's something that we need to tell. Go, as the song says, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, three things that I want us to share today about Christmas. Number one, that we need to see the humanity of God, the humanity of Christ, that he became a baby. Number two, that he was sent by God. It wasn't just the fact that he, you know, the deity, the Godhead, the Trinity came up with the opportunity, but God the Father sent God the Son into this world. And then the third thing is that there's so much resistance and rejection of Christ. And we find that when the star appeared and the wise men began seeking the newborn king, we find resistance right off the bat when Herod heard of it. Remember what the plan was? You go and you find him and you come back and tell me where he's at so that I can go worship him. But his whole intent was to annihilate this new king, to stop him from becoming the king. That was the whole plan. So we know the angel told the wise man to go, not go back to tell Herod, but to go in another direction. And also appeared to Joseph and Mary in a dream and said, you go down and you dwell there in Nazareth for a space of time. Because we know what happened. What did he do? He killed all the babies. We know that was in Bethlehem at that particular time. He killed all of them. So as I began to think, as we start to unwrap this morning, as the Lord has laid it out, the humanity of Jesus, man who is God. So as we look at this, think about it. It said there that he was a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. That translation, the Greek translation, the word babe means infant, newborn child. It is totally ordinary, an ordinary word used to describe the birth of a child. So there wasn't anything special about the birth except for the fact that he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Everything else was a natural birth as far as the physical goes. We know that it was God being born here on this earth, which makes it special. But as far as the natural process goes, it was a natural birth. And he was a babe. He came and he was born as a little baby. This tells us that Christ came into the world just as you and I did, by a natural birth. So what makes it great is that it was a conception of the Holy Spirit. And I even read that one person said, you know how our politics is going right now? It seems like that every politician that's ever done anything wrong, someone's coming up and they're accusing them, if they, and rightfully so, right? But I thought about this. I read an article by somebody that accused God of molesting Mary because she was an underage girl and he planted the seed of man inside of her. And I thought, how ridiculous. You know, because, and I'm sure it's probably posed because of what everything's going on now. So God molested a little underage girl and placed the seed of God inside of her to become a man. That didn't happen. God, I think all he had to do, if he can speak this world into existence, he didn't touch her. He spoke it and all of a sudden seed was in her womb. Then I read and said, well, if that was the case, that if Joseph did not father this child, then there was no Y chromosome present, so therefore Jesus should have been a girl. There again, we're undermining the ability of God. God can do anything, right? God can do anything. So Jesus became a man who died for our sins. So as I began to think, well, the conception of the virgin birth of little Mary. So Mary recognized this to be a miracle. She said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So that's where we need to come back to the point is, and not think about all the questions that people ask. Sure, it's okay to ask questions, but not to try to justify this from being a myth or something like Santa Claus, because I believe it to be reality. I believe this to be the truth, and God had this plan, and we want to unfold that. So Joseph's relationship to Mary proves the virgin birth, because he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. So they didn't get together till after Jesus was born. We know that they had other children, right? So I began to think about, there was a miracle that took place when the angel overshadowed her and planted a seed inside of her, right? That was a miracle. I believe that. I believe that, don't y'all? So, the virgin birth miracle. Isaiah said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied this, and he said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we know, according to Matthew, being interpreted, is God with us. So therefore, it proves to us that he took on flesh. God took on flesh. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. If we want peace, we must know Christ today, right? We must know Christ. And then lastly, in Luke chapter 1:31, he said to Mary, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save their people, his people, from their sins. Amen? What a blessing. What a blessing. The truth of the God, truths of God the Son. So, Christology. Son is the second person of the triune God. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is fully God and fully man. Jesus is the promised Messiah. He is the Christ. Jesus died for our sin. Jesus rose from the dead. I believe that, don't y'all? Jesus ascended to heaven, and one of these days, he promised us, he's coming back. Amen? He's coming back. He had his second coming to judge the living and the dead. Salvation is through faith in Christ alone, not through any other religion, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can find salvation for eternity. Correct? That's biblical stuff, Christology. So, the central truth of Christianity, God has entered human history in order to provide our salvation. We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We know that as Paul tells us here in Romans chapter 5, by one man's disobedience, because of Adam, sin was pronounced upon all mankind. I even read where someone said, how can one man's sin make everybody a sinner? Right? But God had told him to not take of the fruit of the forbidden tree. Eve took it, gave it to Adam, and he took of it. God had commanded Adam not to eat of it, and he did. And Scripture tells us, because the law entered, that offense might abound where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But because of one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. But by the obedience of one, you see, it was to point to Christ. When he became a sinner, that was a point, a forelook at the fact that Jesus would one day be born in the flesh, because it was a foreordained plan. God knew that Adam was going to fall. God knew that. God knew that you and I would need a Savior, need someone that could be the sacrifice for our sins. So, sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? So, why did he have to become a man? I read a couple of stories in the past, and one was about the fact that a farmer was about, both of them's about a farmer. We don't have any farmers in here, do we? Y'all not farmers, are you? I know some of you farm and garden and all that. But one thing is, the farmer was worried, and I don't know why, he was worried about the fire ants. You know, that's about to get plowed up, and I just kill them with poison and go on, or pour gas on them or something, because I don't like to be bitten by a fire ant, do you? But the story was that for these fire ants to be saved, how could he tell them that they need to move? Same way with a flock of ducks or geese, that they needed to get out of the cold that's coming up. How could the farmer get them into the barn? How could he get the fire ants to move? The only way he could communicate with them, well, he stuck his hand down in the fire ant bed and they bit him. And the geese ran. They flew. They went the other way. But the only way that he knew that he could get them in there is to become a goose or become an ant. The only way that God is able to communicate with us today is through his Son becoming in flesh and blood. There was a need for that, and we'll share with that. So Jesus had to become a human in order that he could keep God's law on our behalf to be our substitute. Think about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So when the law came to the point that we could not keep the law, because according to the law, if you break one part of the law, you broke all of it. And there was no way possible that any person could keep all the law. It's impossible. So Jesus came to be sin for us, that he could become our great high priest, that he could first say, you're forgiven, and the grace of God would abound, right? So, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Romans 8, verse 3, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus did that. He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, right? And was made in the likeness of men. And one of my favorite verses, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, right? Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. But he was manifest in the flesh, and he accomplished all those things. And for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, became flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You and I are subject to bondage. We're in the bondage of sin. But because of Christ, we can be freed, set free, and only through him. So, he was God incarnate, God in the flesh. He was sent by God. We know when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Galatians 4 and 4. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, right? But to save the world through him. Well, I'm glad of that, aren't you? Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I came down from heaven, Jesus said, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. God sent him. But note this, look, he was sent forth by God. Jesus was his Son, the Son of God. God spoke the word and the woman conceived miraculously. I believe that. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Probably right there is when it happened. I don't know. But as soon as it was declared, it probably happened. There was no molestation there. She was a willing vessel to bear God's own son. And then we have so much today resistance and rejection of Christ. Remember last week when we read in John 3, 17, 18 about light has come, but people didn't come to the light because their deeds were evil, lest their deeds would be reproved. They didn't want to come to the light. They like what they're doing. They like being sinners. So I thought about this. Let's turn in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And let's talk about the resistance here just for a few minutes. Because it started, we know that as soon as we mentioned earlier, it started with Herod. Herod resisted. We talk about the Jews. They resisted. Not all the Jews resisted. Not all the Jews rejected. The Apostle Paul was a Jew. Peter was a Jew. All those New Testament Christians were Jews until they went beyond Jerusalem and they began preaching. And then people started to be saved and converted, and it spread into Samaria and the Galilee and the uttermost parts of the earth. But in the beginning, the first believers were Jews. So sometimes we say the Jews rejected. Not all of them. The scribes and the Pharisees, most of them did. Nicodemus didn't. So not all of them, but we categorize them and say the Jews rejected. If it wasn't for the Jews, we wouldn't have this today. I'm thankful that there were some. And it's the same way in America today. There's a lot of people that reject Christ, reject the Lord, reject Christianity, reject Christmas. They're so appalled when somebody puts a nativity scene out on the yard of a fire department yard. I never have understood the fact that we have a national holiday on December the 25th and celebrate Christmas, and they get offended because what we're celebrating is, I just don't understand that. So, you know, why don't they just say, why don't we do away with Christmas? Why not? In other words, shut up or keep putting up. That's just the way I see it. I don't want them to do away with Christmas, and they never will be able to do away with Christmas, right? But I'm appalled at the fact that a nativity scene offends so many people. That prayer at a ball game offends so many people. You know why? Because they rejected him. They don't want him.
They don't want you and I to share what God has commissioned us to do is to take it into all the world. And that's why we have this book today. And that's why if it wasn't for those early Jews to disseminate the gospel throughout the world, we wouldn't have it. And here we are, it's everywhere. And we have so many people today that are rejecting it and trying to stop it, and it's evil. I understand that. It's the devil. So therefore, when they write these articles and they begin to say, don't do this or don't do that, just stand up and say, it's the truth, and I'm going to just stay with it. I'm going to stay with it. Aren't y'all? So think about this, and this is why this is starting. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So let's remember, people that carry this book under their arms, a lot of them are false prophets. Sadly to say, a lot of them are false prophets. A lot of them won't stand the test of time. A lot of them won't be able, when it comes down to the rubber meeting the road, to confess that Jesus is God. Amen. That's hard to do, and that's a mouthful to say, isn't it? But I believe that. I believe that God sent His Son in the flesh to be fully man and fully God, because He's the only one that could sacrifice for our sins. So, many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Okay? Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. So let's clarify. We hear the word Antichrist, we're talking about that man that's supposed to rise up at the end of time. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about every person that denies that Jesus is the Son of God. They're people that are Antichrist. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the sent one, the anointed one. Don't y'all? So, therefore, I'm not an Antichrist. I'm for Christ. Aren't y'all? So, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Like that verse, don't y'all? I like that verse. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Because that greater is He that is in me is guiding me. It's guiding you. And it's helping us to know what is right, what is wrong, based on God's Word. Through the Spirit. He directs us. He guides us. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. There's where we can identify a lot of times an antichrist or people that's not godly. It's because they have problems loving people. Because he tells us, he goes on, he said, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, to take our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also are to love one another. Right? So much depth, so much stuff there in the Scripture to teach us, to help us. So there's resistance and rejection in the world today. So believers can be misled by the spirits of false teachers. Correct? According to this passage of Scripture. A false teacher may have the spirit of light. A false teacher may have the spirit of righteousness. A false teacher may stress the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. Say, the Mormons, we're the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, correct? Well, they put Jesus in their name and in their belief, but in the end, they don't believe that He is the Son of God. So therefore, can I go out on a limb and say, they have the spirit of Antichrist? Because we must go all the way. We must eat, as Ezekiel said, we must eat the whole roll. It's tough to digest spiritually, isn't it? But I believe it. I believe it, and I want to stand on it. How important it is, and there's so many teachers today that are bringing good stuff. But when it comes down to the bottom line, do they really believe that God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world? So, what is it that a true teacher confesses? He confesses Jesus, the name of Jesus. It means Savior, okay? It is believing that Jesus Christ did come from God to save man, to be the Savior of the world. I believe that, don't y'all? Second thing, to confess Christ, come in the flesh. A true teacher confesses Christ. The name Christ means Messiah, anointed one of God. It is believing that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah of Scripture. The Jews don't believe that, do they? The Jews that are practicing Jewish religion today, they don't believe that. He is the fulfillment of all the prophecies of Scripture, and that He is the anointed Savior sent from God to earth. I believe that. The third thing, a true teacher confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. God did send His Son out of heaven, that God sent His Son in human flesh to save man in fulfillment of Scripture. I believe that. So, as we have told you, just a nut handful right there. Jews, they don't believe in the deity of Christ. Muslims don't believe in the deity of Christ. Hinduism, They believe in Christ, but they also believe in 3,000 other gods. Buddhism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons, just to say a few. All other practicing religions that do not recognize Jesus as God the Son. Amen. My Savior. My Savior. Let me read you this. I know it's small, but out of two different commentaries, J.C. Ryle, he wrote in the Expository Thoughts of the Gospels, in the Baker Commentary, he points out that eventually sinners will get what they desire while on earth. They love darkness, they will be cast into outer darkness. They hated the light, they will be shut out from the light eternally. God will be perfectly just in condemning those who rejected Christ. They saw the light, but they hated it and turned away from it because they loved their sin. That should make our heart break. There's so many people today reject Him and remain in their sin because they love darkness rather than light. And then John Piper, on his website, desiringgod.org, he wrote this. He said, "This is the judgment. Light has come into the world. The coming of Jesus into the world clarifies that unbelief is our fault. And belief is God's gift, which means that if we do not come to Christ, rather we will perish eternally. We magnify God's justice when we disbelieve. And if we come to Christ and gain eternal life, we magnify the grace of God." I'm looking to magnify God's grace, aren't you? And I thought about this, and I want us to, I'd like for us to close in just a time of worship. And let's play a song that I've heard, and there's different renditions of it. But it's called "The Christmas Hallelujah." And if you need to pray, the altar's open. But also, I'd like for us to just see the fact that
when we say hallelujah, y'all remember what the definition of that is? What does it mean? Praise the Lord. So I'd like to praise Him here in our close today with a Christian hallelujah. You listen.
I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. Emmanuel has come to earth, the Virgin Mary given birth into a world that sings a hallelujah. 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 A couple came to Bethlehem, expecting child. They searched the inn to find a place, for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only Son was born. Oh, hallelujah. 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 By night to see this baby wrapped in light, a host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel. Bethlehem, the wise men three, came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, the frankincense and golden myrrh, they gave to you. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Remember our service tonight. Come back and hear the choir sing. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, invite someone. It's going to be a great time. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today to be here. Thankful, God, to be, Lord, in your house another time. We know, God, without a doubt, that we believe in what your word records and tells us and teaches us about you coming as a baby, dying for my sins. Father, I thank you. And I want to magnify your grace by living eternally with you and accepting your grace, Lord. Thank you for everyone that's here. Father, we give honor to you for this church. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for Brother Randy coming and sharing with us today. Pray, God, your blessings on him. Father, again, we love you so much, God, that, Lord, we just have to close saying, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. All this we ask today in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So remember the service tonight. You come back, come praying.